Welcome back to another episode of Pat and the Fat Man. We like to talk about movies, sports, and whatever else we feel like. I'm Pat.
I'm the Fat Man.
My computer just told me my internet connection is unstable. So just like me, my internet connection is unstable. Continuing our journey through the cult class, actually not cult class, the childhood classic film, The Sandlot, in hopes that we may break 20, possibly even 22 minutes of this movie over this hour that you're going to spend with us. Coming into the most controversial scene, probably in this day and age.
By modern standards.
I don't know what it would have been the most controversial scene by the times when it came out.
I don't remember anybody talking about it.
Yeah. The pool scene.
The pool scene. We start off this scene with adult Scotty saying that Benny the Jet Rodriguez would have played in any condition, day, night, rain, monsoon, tidal wave, whatever. He would have played baseball. That was his only focus in life. But of all the things he did outside of baseball that he tolerated the most, or as in Scotty's words, that tolerated the best, it was going to the pool. And they start off this whole thing, which is kind of funny because, again, these kids are like, what, 8, 9 years old?
Yeah, somewhere between 8 and 10.
Right.
Because is he like supposed to go into fifth grade or something? So that's like 10 years old.
Something like that.
Something like that.
And he goes on in this narrative and saying that none of us had ever seen a Playboy, even though we all lied about it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I could say that when I was his age.
For those of you who are unfamiliar with the landscape of female denigration prior to the internet, because the internet has taken that to levels unseen and unforetold by any and all prophets. Prior to this, there used to be handheld, I know, shocking, handheld paper copies of magazines that had pictures in them of an adult nature.
And they were all glossy pages for, you know, obvious reasons.
Obvious reasons. And one of the leading magazines was referred to as Playboy.
I wouldn't even say one of the leading. It has to be the leading one. Like if you were caught with any other magazine, at least the Playboy would have been the one that you would have had at least the least amount of disgust in being caught having.
Yeah.
Because they were, air quotes, tastefully done with actual articles.
Right. And I mean, to be fair to the publishing house, if you can call it that, that produced that magazine, they ran a lot of political articles, if I understand correctly, in the magazine. And it sort of was a wide spectrum from what I've heard. And they would print them out in Braille so that you could read them, even though it is primarily a visual format. So typically, in a group of kids that size, one of them will have a father who has some somewhere in the house.
In a shoebox somewhere.
And will have discovered them, because thinking your kids won't discover literally everything in the house by the time they're 10 is ludicrous. They will. Typically, you know, this ran through middle schoolers and whatnot. You would always have the kid that would brag about it, and then, you know, the other kids would have to also brag about it, because you can't get left behind in bragging, right? That's part of being a middle schooler, is fitting in, right? So if one person has done something, then you have done it too, whether you have or not. And so that's why Smalls is saying, you know, we're all claiming to have seen these magazines and pictures, but we have not. Because unlike the modern era, where children just randomly stumble into this stuff at the age of 10 via the internet. Thanks, internet. Usually most of them hadn't seen any of this. And if you want a really good, but really not child friendly web comic on this, look up Penny Arcade and search, you know, access to this type of material. And there's a very good 3-panel explanation of the difference between our generation and the internet generation in that respect.
I can say there's now at this point three generations. There was our parents' generation leading up to that, and then ours, which was kind of in the middle of this, which was really interesting to see how much that type of media has changed over time.
Yeah. You know, when they started, the internet first came out, people were like, oh, this is a great way to share information and stuff. And then it turned into...
Hey, nerds get lonely too.
Depending on who you ask, the statistic is different. It's anywhere from, you know, 55 to 95% of the internet is this kind of material.
So now that we're done talking about kids and pornography.
Yeah.
So at the narration, what we see is this public pool, kids are playing, you know, blah, 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 you know, running around. And of course, all the teenage girls are just sunbathing out on concrete and towels. Hammy is walking by just a row of ladies who are all, you know, in what we would consider today very conservative swimsuits. And he's just waving at them, doing the parade wave. Hey, ladies, yeah. How you doing? Hey, I remember you. He's like living it up like you know, he's like some sort of Don Juan. Like,
or Hugh Hefner.
Like he would ever even know what to do if one winked back at him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he even like flexes his non-muscles like he's a muscle man, blows them a kiss, and yells cannonball and jumps into the pool, creating a big splash and splashes all the girls. And of course, they go running and screaming.
Yeah, so several comments about this. Number one, there's no way he was able to pull off that big of a splash. He's not
that big.
Obviously, there's a crew with buckets who are splashing these girls. I can pull off some big splashes, but I mean, waves of water like that, impossible. He's not that big. Secondly, yeah, like they're all wearing, you know, one piece covering most of their body bathing suits. In comparison to these days, which I'll be honest is sometimes disturbing what they wear or how little they wear. And thirdly, I don't get tanning. Like, it just hurts.
Right. No matter, like, because you never put on enough sunscreen in enough amount of time that it doesn't not hurt. I mean, ever.
Yeah. You're just sitting there baking in the sun. Like, the reason to go to the pool is because it's cooler than the non-pool. But the only way you get that benefit is by being in the pool.
You know who would be really upset about sunbathers? The guys at Chernobyl.
Oh my gosh. Where did you pull that from?
Essentially, you're getting burned from solar radiation, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's
what's happening. Both forms of radiation. Only one is, you know, from, you know, people willing to do it because they think it's fun. The other guys are like, I'm trying to save the world.
Yeah, okay, I gotcha. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's what tanning is. It's radiation burn, low-level radiation burns. I don't get me wrong. It looks good, I guess. It's still, I mean, depending on, you know, what you... I don't know, it just... It
depends on how boring my life is.
I've never thought, gee, I sure do want to go to the pool and then not go in that pool and instead lay next to it for hours on end while the sun bakes my body.
It just, you know... Not don't all about me, but I mean, like, I don't wear sunscreen anymore. I wear rash guards. I'd rather wear a hat and a rash guard in the pool than deal with sunscreen. I don't care how pasty I get. I don't want to hurt. I mean, I've had sunburn so bad that I would need Benadryl just to knock myself out so I could stop feeling itching.
Well, yeah, but I mean, we grew up in Florida, so like, you go out during the summer and you'll get a tan just from
driving in the car.
Yeah, to get from from the house to the car, and then the sun coming in through the windows.
To my point earlier, Scotty goes on to say that they didn't really go there, despite them all saying and using, you know, pool honeys. They didn't really go there for the girls at the pool because, like I said, if any of the girls had talked to them, they would have peed their pants.
Yeah, it's a bunch of middle schoolers.
And yet he goes on to say that the reason why they go to the pool was because of the lifeguard, Wendy Peppercorn.
Is it Peppercorn? No, or Peppercorn?
I'm looking the subtitles. Peppercorn. Yeah. You'd think Peppercorn. That makes more sense.
Yeah.
It's still weird, but it makes more sense. But no, it's Wendy Peppercorn.
Peppercorn. I guess I've been wrong this my entire life. I've got to rethink everything now. It's all been a lie this whole time.
And so the boys are all checking out the lifeguard. And she is, by far, of any of the girls that we've seen in this scene so far, the most attractive. By far.
Again, wearing a relatively conservative swimsuit, the standard lifeguard red one-piece suit.
But compared to everyone else we've seen, it's a lot riskier than anyone we've seen so far. It is
more risque.
For that time period and in this scene, I should say.
Right. Which I think is more telling about lifeguards than it is about fashion sense, because that standard hasn't changed. We're
saving lives here.
Yeah, because the red lifeguard one piece has not changed
from the 60s straight into Baywatch.
Yeah, I mean you go to YMCA. That's what the female lifeguards. I mean, they usually wear shorts over it now. And sometimes a shirt, too. But yeah, that's the suit they have on.
Well, kudos to them for the shorts. But all the boys are staring at her, going like, you know, acting like they're going crazy. You know, their hormones are going crazy over it. Like, you know, as she's putting on suntan oil. And, you know, they're like, oh, she doesn't know what she's doing. And Benny's like, yeah, she does. She knows exactly what she's doing.
She knows exactly what she's doing. I just love how he says it. She knows exactly what she's doing. It's just so over the top.
Just to reiterate,
ridiculous.
Maureen kills everything, folks.
Wow. I remember when we started this, it was a relatively family okay podcast. But I guess now that we're in our fifth season, we've gone extreme.
Well, remember we were talking about, like, you know, like how 16 Candles, and like now you look back on these movies, you're like, huh.
Yeah, I don't think anything will beat 16 Candles for popularity combined with inappropriateness. All right, so the peppercorn is oiling herself down.
All the boys are gawking, and of course Squints, you know, he just starts going even crazier than the rest. Just oiling and lotioning. And Scotty goes, and then one day he was just too much for Squints. he by himself, and I don't know how it was, he, like, the other guys are just like, where is he going? And he gets out of the pool. Walks over to the diving board. He looks like he has no idea what he's doing, and like he's just very timid walking onto this thing.
Cold.
Gets to the end of the diving board, takes his glasses off, waves at the lifeguard, and all the guys are like, what is he doing? What's wrong with him? And then, like, he's standing on the diving board, like, what's he doing? Like,
what's Squints doing?
He's gonna jump. Tell me, what do you mean? What is he gonna do?
Yeah, he's on a diving board, guys. What do you think he's gonna do? I mean, like, seriously.
And one of them goes, three summers of this, and I think he's finally snapped. I don't know, but that's the deep end, and Squints can't swim.
Squints can't swim.
So he's about to jump into the deep end, and he can't swim. Can you see, folks, where this is going?
Yeah.
Of course, he jumps in. He gets to the bottom, and then he sits there.
Like you do. Right?
Like, I'm pretty sure, like, he even crosses his legs and sits.
Yeah, it's the calmest, I'm going to drown.
Okay, he doesn't cross his legs, but he's, like, laying, like, belly, you know, right on it. And of course, you know, all of 3 seconds goes by and the lifeguard jumps in to go get him. Of course, at this point, all the guys are getting out of the pool, running over to see their friends drowning.
Yeah, they're yelling, hollering that he can't swim. Squints! Get him! And so I think it's potentially the triggering thing for the lifeguard, perhaps, to jump in the pool.
They get him out of the pool, and of course, first thing the lifeguard does is start giving him mouth-to-mouth. Yeah, she's blowing, she's listening for her heart rate, she's blowing in his mouth, listening to heart rate. And at one point, she's listening, and he looks at the other guys. Now, in the shot where it's like a point of view of Squints, you can see the other male lifeguard standing there with the kids.
Yeah.
And at one point, Squints opens his eyes, looks at his friends, and winks, and then closes his eyes in time for the lifeguard to give him mouth-to-mouth one more time, and at which point he opens his eyes and grabs her head to give her a kiss. Give her a kiss. And of course, when he first opens his eyes, it's not just a wink. It's like this big-ass smile, you know?
Yeah, like he's pulled it off. Let's just run through everything that's wrong with this. First and foremost, lifeguards don't dive in after people. That's a good way to get yourself drowned. They have those buoys that they use, right, to get the person on that flotation device and then bring them over to the side, right, if they can't swim. Squints being on the bottom of the pool, the ability to see drowning doesn't look like drowning like it does in the movies. Like they're on the bottom of the pool or they're waving their arms around everywhere crazy. Drowning looks like a person at the very top of the pool, kind of bobbing up and down very slowly, sort of crazed-eyed, trying to get gulps of breath. And it looks like your body just goes into this mode that's like, I'm going to try to save myself from drowning.
Right. The fight or flight reaction. There is no overcoming it. I mean, unless you've got stupid amounts of training, there is no overcoming it.
Yeah. Like until they're within touching distance of something, they're not going to be waving their arms around or acting crazy. They're not going to be on the bottom of the pool, right? Because bodies float. So when a lifeguard goes in, they go in with the flotation device to try and get the person to grab it. And only if they're already unconscious or something's wrong do they go in and get them themselves. So none of this plays out that way, right? She waits, you know, all 3 seconds and jumps in and grabs them. Secondly, you never start CPR if they have a pulse. Ever, ever, ever.
To be fair, she didn't do CPR. She just gave him mouth to mouth.
Right.
There was no chest compressions.
Which there's no... What? You don't like this day and age that it's even like the mouth to mouth part is optional. Right. Like the it's all about the chest compression. So if somebody has a pulse, you don't start CPR. Like that's a number one.
To be fair, again, this is a movie and B in the 1960s. So, I mean, the fact that,
yeah,
you know, CPR is even around is probably, I mean, I don't know. When was CPR invented? I mean, I doubt it was much earlier than that.
I don't know.
Because the learning curve in humanity takes like a sharp turn, you know, sometime around World War II, before or after. I mean, like, it's really interesting, the technology jump and the thought jump that we have in society.
Modern CPR techniques were first introduced in 1950.
Yeah, okay. This was 1962.
Yeah, 1960 was when the landmark paper on cardiopulmonary resuscitation was published that provided the directions on how to do, anybody could do it anywhere, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. To give them a little bit of leeway, one, it's a movie, and two, they may not have been trained or smart enough to know what to and not to do.
Yeah. And then, yes, I get it, all the boys being quiet when they see Squints is actually alive.
But you see the male lifeguard, he's got the hat on, he's got like the Jungle Gym hat on, standing right over their shoulder, looking like everybody is right there.
You got a question, like, how come that guy didn't say anything? Like, what's going on with that guy, huh?
Why don't we see him later in the movie high-fiving him? I mean,
yeah. Like, what was his deal?
What's his deal?
Wasn't he friends with Mrs. Peppercorn? Didn't he want to date her?
So, yeah, he grabs her head and he's kissing her. You know, she breaks away from him and says, "You little pervert," you know. And it's close up with Scotty.
Is she slapping him?
No, I don't think she slaps him, but she just yells at him. Because then there's a quick pan to Scotty's face and he goes, "Oh, he's in deep."
Yeah, that's the S-bomb that they drop in the movie. Appropriate.
She, you know, hoists him up with his leg, starts walking to the exit, throws him out.
That's right. She grabs him by his arm and hauls him to the exit and throws him out.
And all the guys are following. Hey, leave him alone, blah, 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 blah. You know? You know, he kicks all the guys out. Scotty comes back to narrate. He goes, "We were kicked out of the pool for the rest of the summer that night. But Squints, whatever his full name, walked a little taller that day."
He sexually harassed a lifeguard. Good job, Squints.
And because of that, some other kid was never saved because the lifeguard thought it was a ruse.
After that, she just let kids drown.
She threw them out, you know, as soon as she could. So they're running by the front of the chain or the main building for the public swimming pool. And kids just throw their clothes out as if they knew which clothes were theirs. Just throw them out at them. Mm-hmm. And they're grabbing their stuff and they're running. I guess they're running home. Hammy goes, "Hey, Squints, did you plan that?" He goes, "Of course I did." And, you know, as kids, you know, as we talk, kids lie all the time about stuff. And, you know, that sure as shit was a lie. He had no idea what he was doing.
Yeah.
Michael Squints Polidoros. person.
You know, we begin the scene with we've all been lying about seeing these certain types of media.
And say that he was lucky he didn't get the crap beaten out of him. We wouldn't have blamed him. We wouldn't have blamed her. What he'd done was sneaky, rotten, and low. And cool.
Yeah.
Not another one among us would have ever in a million years, even for $1 million, had the guts to put the move on the lifeguard. He kissed a woman, and he kissed her long and good.
Just like, and honestly, like, this is the part I think that makes it controversial. I think if you had had that scene and then not had this, like, narrator explanation of how amazing it was.
It gets better because then at this moment, you know, the kids are all, you know, heading towards home. Squints is on the other side of the fence looking at the lifeguard. The lifeguard's looking back at him and she's waving at him. Never mind that she's like 10 years older than him. Smiles and waves at him.
It's a kind of a begrudging, I don't know how to put it. It's not a like a happy smile necessarily. It's sort of a begrudging respect smile. I don't know. It's just so.
But is that not even just weird? Isn't that just weird?
Yeah. I mean, it kind of sets up, you know, what happens later, but it's just can't take it anymore. It does. It's just such a like.
So then we move on. We go to a night scene. I don't know if it's the same night. It's probably not. It's probably a different night. Benny runs up to Scotty's door. Hey, Scotty, come on. Let's go. Night game. Says there's a night game. And now Scotty's part of the crew. No,
it's not the same night as far as I know.
As far as I can tell, it's not either. But, I mean, they don't say next day. Benny says night game. So Scotty yells, Mom, going out. Not even another word, just runs out, grabs the stuff, runs out.
Yeah, like we said before, this is even weirder, right? like yelling at your parents, hey, I'm going out, be back later. And in the daytime is one thing, but now it's nighttime. Like, what are the parents?
To be fair, it explains a lot about my childhood. My parents going, stay indoors, don't answer the door. We'll be back. Mm-hmm. Are they coming back?
No, they're not.
So as they're running down the driveway, you see that the basically the whole neighborhood's in the middle of the cul-de-sac there. Tables and streamers, red, white, and blue everywhere. So you figure it out, and then you hear fireworks that this is a 4th of July celebration. It's explained to us that because of the fireworks on 4th of July, it's the one night of the year that you can play baseball at night because the fireworks would light up the field and let you be able to see. And as this is being explained, Ham comes running out of the house, runs past one table, and I guess he picks up some barbecue chicken, takes a bite, puts it down, and runs again, and stops by the grill, picks up a hot dog and a bun, starts shoving it down his face as he's running down towards the field.
Yep, grabbing as much food as he can on the go.
And then it's explained, you know, about all the fireworks and whatnot and how most of the kids would stare up at the sky and watch the fireworks because kids like fireworks, but not Benny. Benny was so in love with baseball that that's all he thought about. That, you know, while everyone's staring at the fireworks, he's, you know, hitting balls and running the bases and things like that.
Yep.
That was his singular focus.
You know, it's interesting. Do you think about, like, night games are kind of a normal thing, but the reality is, I mean, lights like we have at stadiums, even, you know, high school stadiums, those are big, very bright, very expensive lights. Mm-hmm. There are plenty of sports teams, even in the U.S. today, that don't play at night because they can't afford those kind of lights or the electricity bill that comes with them.
Well, let's put it in another context from another baseball movie, Field of Dreams, where even in that time, so Kevin Costner's character in that one explains to Shoeless Joe Jackson about the lights because Shoeless Joe Jackson played in a time when that wasn't the case.
Yeah.
Which was, you know, I don't know, I want to say 40s, 30s, something like that. And Shoeless Joe's like, what's with the lights? And he goes, oh, owners thought that, you know, more people would be able to go to night games, so they added the lights. And him, as a pure baseball guy, shook his head and said, owners, you know. So even changes like that for certain baseball people was kind of like, you know, what the hell?
Yeah.
Yeah, like some baseball there. It was a game changer.
Yep. You know, Benny's right. Like, that, this is the only day out of the summer where you're going to have a true night game, because otherwise you won't have a light to play by. You know, it is fortunate that it's summer, though, right? So the days can last into 8, 9 p.m., depending on what their latitude is. I can't. Oh, California, right? So, yeah, it could last in the 8, 9 p.m. If there was a way to play baseball,
they were going to find.
Benny was going to do it.
And, you know, even 9 o'clock at night, 10 o'clock at night, 10 o'clock at night at baseball, you probably had to think that you were pretty darn cool.
Yeah.
As the kids are watching the baseball or the fireworks and Benny's rounding the bases, we eventually move on to the next day, and the guys are scrimmaging and they catch Benny in. And this is a pretty much a theme for the whole movie, because it's such an interesting and intense baseball moment, because, like, it doesn't happen often. And when it does, like, you know how it's going to happen, how it's going to end 90% of the time. But that 10%, when it goes the other way, you're just amazed that it happens. And it's called a pickle.
I would say it's more like 90-95% of the time.
Right. And it's called a pickle. And that's when the runner gets caught between two bases. And the other team's got the ball and they've got him basically pinned down. So they're running back and forth between each other. The runner's running back and forth between the two opposing players. And they're trying to run him down to tag him out. And in this case, you know, Benny, of course, gets out of the pickle. But like I said, it doesn't happen very often, because it's not just the two players. Other players can come in. So you can kind of start rotating guys in and out to keep the flow of the baseball going, but the runner has to stay in the baseline. He has to, you know, he can't run where he wants. He's got to go just in the two directions.
Yeah.
And of course, Benny being Benny, you know, he gets out of it and scores a run.
Basically, if you can trick one of the basemen to throw the ball at the right moment, so basically balk them out, then you can run the other way, like as if you're going to run one way, and the guy throws it, and then you run the other way, and you're fast enough to get there before the guy who catches the ball throws it to the guy who just threw it. Then you can get out. Very difficult to pull off, because you have to pull the deception off, which is tricking the guy into throwing it, even though you're going to run at him. And then you've still got to be fast enough. So even if you pull off the deception, you still got to beat the ball. That's not hard. That's not easy to do. Mm-mm. I want to say it was either Seager or Simeon got caught in a pickle in the World Series game that I went to, and he did not make it out. He got tagged out. It's not an easy thing to pull off.
Again, it's like one of those things that, like you said, 95% of the time, you know how it's going to end. It's just that 5% that when they don't get out, you're just like, I can't believe that happened. How did they do that? You know?
Yeah.
After the pickle play, the guys are surrounding Benny at home field, and then camera looks out to left field, and in come these kids on bikes that are wearing basically, they're kind of like varsity jackets. And they're like a motor, like a biker gang coming in on their turf. You know, it's like an invasion, you know. And so everybody turns, yep. And they, you know, they throw their gloves down. They all start marching in, you know, in a line, you know, to meet them. And they meet them right at the edge of the infield.
I always like watching Smalls during these scenes, because he's slightly confused about what he's supposed to be doing.
I mean, I know which team I'm on. I mean, do I say something? Do I not say something? I mean, you know.
What's going on here? Who are these people?
Can I use bad language? Are you going to tell my mom?
Yes.
These kids, you know, they're all on the Invaders. They're all wearing the same jackets, and they all look like they belong to the same team. So, and they're all, you know, flashier, right? So it's like the pros coming in at the amateurs, you know?
Yeah.
And there's trash talking back and forth. And this is where the classic line, you know, they're throwing insults, you know, butt breath and, you know, buffalo face and stuff like that, you know.
Some great, great insults in here.
And of course, the greatest insult a kid can make is a changing of the time. I'm going to say this. This was at the time of like an insult, like a real insult, was you play ball like a girl. And everybody stops. It was like, you know, a bomb went off. Everyone just stops.
Yeah. Triple dog dare you.
Right.
He jumped over the double dog and went straight to the triple dog. You know, that kind of everybody pauses because you know, this is the gauntlet has been thrown. The guy has been slapped with the glove. The challenge is now out there. Mm-hmm. It's the Old West equivalent to calling somebody a liar or a cheat.
Right.
You know, there's now going to be a duel at high noon.
You've insulted that's just my honor.
What happens? That's right. That's just what happens after you say those words.
And so it is at this point that the captain of the other team, of the well-dressed guys, the well-dressed kids, says, all right, fine. Well, we're going to play you noon tomorrow on our field. And, you know, Hammy's the one that's taking charge of all this. It says, we'll see you there, you pee drinker.
So many good insults.
The kids leave and the rest of the group goes back to, you know, their game. And all the guys are like, way to go, Hammy.
Hammy's the one that yells it, right? You throw a ball like a girl.
You play ball like a girl. Yes.
You play ball like a girl. And everybody.
So the next day they're starting. And this is the classic, you know, what you see in memes all the time. Hammy with his catcher's gear yelling, play ball. And so they start playing the game. And of course, you know, he's playing yard ball. He's playing sandlot rules. You know, he's trying to psych out the batters by chatting at them, you know.
So for those of you who don't know, this time honored, wonderful tradition of the catcher saying the dirtiest, nastiest, most terrible stuff to try and psych out the batter while he's batting. And that is just part of baseball. Like, catchers will say terrible, terrible things.
This one, hey, isn't that your sister out there in left field naked? She's naked. Yeah. And, you know, the guy swings like, shut up, Porter. He's like, hey, I'm just trying to have a friendly conversation. And, you know, granted, he's got pads on, but the guy he's talking to has got a baseball bat.
Yeah, I know. It's not like there's an umpire there or an adult who's going to stop. They do such an amazing job of taking that time-honored tradition and putting it into a kid's movie in a way that, you know, everybody can understand what transpires on an adult baseball field.
Well, you know, that without supervision, kids, you know, will do whatever they want, say whatever they want, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and they think like that, like, you know, they could do whatever they want, but really whatever they want isn't as bad as you think. You know, it's not like they're going out doing drugs, getting hookers, you know, it's just saying bad words to other kids and trash talking.
That's right. Yeah.
Are you picturing that? You're picturing like Scotty and Scotty Smalls.
It's not like they're murdering people in the street or drive-by gang shootings.
You're just picturing that, right? So while our heroes defensively are striking out the other team, when they come up to bat, they just start in home runs and doubles and everything. They just tear the other team apart. So for their victory, they go to the local fair. I say county, state, whatever. It's a fair. There are rides and whatnot. The kind of fair you use money to buy tickets. And in this case, Benny's the one that buys tickets for everybody.
As a
team captain, I guess.
Yeah.
And so as they're getting in line for one of the Whirlybirds, I can't remember this kid. It's not Squint. It's the other kid with glasses. He's like, hey, wait, I got something for the occasion. Pulls out this huge pack. And then he goes, it's chaw. It's chewing tobacco.
Mm-hmm. Chaw.
And he's like, yeah, swiped it for my old man. The big chief, the best.
Not going to go well, kid. Not going to go well at all.
Well, and then there's an interesting moment. He's like, what's the chaw? And they're like, they're all razzing him. Ah, Smalls, next thing you're going to tell us, you don't know who the babe is.
As always, Scotty
doesn't know. And so we get another hint here with Scotty that he, in fact, does not know who the babe is. And they're like, it's Backy, man. What do you do with it? And you're killing me, Smalls. You just take a big old piece and you just chew it.
And it's funny because he says it like he's done this before, right?
Right.
And it's very obvious from the coming scene that none of them have. Well,
aside from the other fact that none of them are spitting.
Yeah. the important part.
And as they get on, it's like a whirly fair ride, you know, one of these things you sit in, they lock in with a metal bar that just, you know, it's got a little lock on it. So if I get really thrown across this thing, I'm just going to go double over a metal bar, you know, brain injury and
metal abdominal. Bar will save me. This will save me from a beheading, I'm sure.
by a carny who accidentally threw his corn dog bone into the machine.
Why is there a bone in the corn dog? You're killing me, Smalls.
So this thing, they get on it. They got the chew in their mouth. And like I said, none of them are spitting. This thing starts spitting and twirling and moving. And as the kids start going, they're cheering. They're cheering. And then suddenly the cheering starts slowing down. And then it stops. And the next thing you know, they all start getting a little green in the face. They're thinking, you can see in their faces, they're like, stop the ride, stop the ride, oh god. And then all of a sudden they all start throwing up. I mean, just everywhere, on everybody, themselves, their friends, other riders, the guy who's trying to propose to his teen sweetheart in the row behind him.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's like the brown slush stuff. Oh, yeah. Again, way over the top. Obviously, a bunch of guys with buckets.
And of course, the song Tequila is played in the background.
Yeah.
Tequila.
Yeah, so we get our, basically, through these three scenes, we get our sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
And they're coming off and they're like covered in, like, it looks like mud. It's like brown, reddish mud.
Yeah. So we'll just, you know, float it out there. Don't smoke or chew tobacco. It's a bad habit that'll kill you or cost you your jaw.
And, you know, of course, Scotty says, after that night, we all swore off the hard stuff for good.
Mm-hmm.
So the next day, Scotty's walking out of the house with his mom. She's like, I'm going to take your dad to the airport. She stops and says, are you okay, honey? You look kind of pale. No, I'm fine, fine. Totally wasn't doing something totally illegal and throwing up everywhere.
Yeah, I wasn't getting into the trouble that you told me to get into. At all. Been a little queasy.
Was it the meatloaf? I don't know how to answer that.
Yes? I'm going to get in trouble for that. We had meatloaf for 7 nights in a row after that. She said she was trying different recipes, but she wasn't. She was making it worse every time. She was doing it on purpose because I said I didn't like it very much. It's my mom could hold a grudge.
Scotty's mom tells Scotty that she's taking dad to the airport. And dad's loading up the trunk. They have you're the man of the house now. I'm going to be in Chicago for business for a week. And goes, maybe we'll take another stab at catch when I get back. Okay.
Yeah, okay. You deadbeat.
Now, just to keep things authentic, mom says she's taking dad to the airport, but mom's in the passenger seat and dad gets in the driver's seat.
Yep.
Because he'll be damned if his last thing he does on this earth is let a woman drive him to the airport.
I don't really know if that was the intention on that one, but okay. We'll go with it. It's right after Dennis Leary beats them both. That was a deleted scene. He just kept wailing on us.
And the whole time he keeps saying, it's for authenticity.
It was the 50s.
He was angry. Angry.
Oh, God. Look, we're not saying that Dennis Leary is a bad father and husband. We're saying he played one in this movie.
Yeah, he all swore off the hard stuff and just stuck to bazooka.
Yeah.
And then he says, the day we all got back together was the day that I got into the biggest pickle that we've ever been in.
That's probably a good place to wrap up for today before we get to the biggest pickle.
Okay.
Hopefully we will get back to a more regular schedule. Thank you, everybody who has continued to listen to us and who has still discovered our podcast and shared with others over this kind of break we took. I know it wasn't like we announced it like all the people at the beginning of this year announced they were leaving YouTube. We had no announcement, and we're not leaving. We just took a break because of life. Appreciate everybody sticking with us. Remember, we do have a website, patandthefatman.com. If you'd like to support the show, Patreon, you get access to pretty much everything with only a dollar a month. We would appreciate that. We really would. I mean, a dollar doesn't even buy you a candy bar anymore. Like $2. So it's half a candy bar for all of our content. Pretty good deal, if you ask me, because Shay does a very good job of making us sound good. And that is where all of the money goes to our producer. And, we really appreciate our patrons who have stuck with us in this time frame as well. We're also on Facebook, Pat and the Fat Man. We're on Instagram. The Fat Man has a Twitter. Was it Fatman1238?
Yep.
Or it's on X now.
Oh, X, yeah.
Yeah, not Twitter anymore. It's X.
Formerly known as Twitter.
And I think that's about it.
That's
so
all the socials.
Thank you for sticking with us. Yeah, I'm Pat.
I'm the Fat Man.
Stay classy.
You play ball like a girl.
Okay, I'm recording now. Okay. Three.
So when we last left off, we were just about to. Oh. That's going to be confusing. Well, yo, it's just I started talking and you just kept going with the count. Like, nope, too late. I already started counting. I can't stop till I reach three.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, money, python, jag.
It needs to be on a t-shirt.